It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get policy perspectives from Wisconsin grocers and learn how the newly enacted two-year state budget affects grocery store chains and what we encounter shopping for food and drinks. Join in with your question or comment throughout the discussion. The number to call in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brandon Scholes is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association, representing the interests of the food retail industry. Brandon, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. It's great to be back again.
Well, let's start with the budget. Governor Evers signing the state's biennial budget. What aspects of this budget matter most to Wisconsin grocers?
You know, there are so many things that impact the grocery business and impact the grocery store where you and your listeners shop. I think people would be surprised at just how much government reaches into the grocery business and into these stores. So when you look at the state budget, there's things in there that somebody might say, geez, why do you care so much about that? So, for example, this state budget finally repeals what's known as the personal property tax. The personal property tax is an assessment, a tax that the local municipality puts on all businesses, small businesses, grocery stores, hardware stores, and they put it on every year. And there's a formula, and you pay tax every year on the equipment that you have. Well, if you run a grocery store, you're getting that bill every year, and you have to pay for it. You've got to come up with money. And these bills were not small. They're tens of and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So by repealing this tax, because we've already paid the tax on the equipment when we purchased it, on the sales tax, but as this law provided, municipalities could tax anybody every year for the same equipment for 29 years. We thought that was a little excessive. So over the years, we have worked to repeal this, thus saving grocers and small businesses lots of money. Now, the municipalities are still made whole because taxpayers will give them the money from tax funds. So in the end, municipalities get the funds that they need to do the business that they do to help their residents, and grocers and small businesses are able to see a reduction in their expenses, which at a minimum could hold the line on grocery prices. So this was a very big thing that happened in the state budget. We're very glad it's taken 4 years to get here to get this one done. But again, we're very happy. And that's just one element in the state budget that has been impactful.
The state revenue department says the removal of that tax will leave local governments across the state with around $174 million less annually. Is it concerning that local governments may see this cut in funding?
They actually are made whole. The whole purpose of the repeal and why it comes in the budget is the budget provides funds for these municipalities each year to make them whole. So, you know, if they just look at the revenue for personal property tax, they should be made whole based on what is in the budget to make them whole. Now, some may argue that there may be a cost of living or other impactful piece in there. And you know, that's just what everybody else has to do. They have to figure out how they can absorb it and create more revenue for it. But for the personal property tax, as we look at it, municipalities have been made whole, as they have every time we have worked to repeal portions of the personal property tax. We do that so that municipalities may not be in a situation where they have to raise property taxes. We don't want to see that happen either.
In your position paper on the personal property tax, you said it's burdensome to grocers for tax compliance, that there is an unevenness in tax compliance. What do you see there?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, when, you know, let's just say a grocer goes out and buys a refrigerator. Well, they buy it and they pay tax on it. Products delivered, they put it in the store and up and running. Well, the next year, they receive a bill from their municipality, and included in that personal property tax bill is a tax on that refrigerator that you've already bought and paid for and paid sales tax on. Mm. And the sales tax, of course, goes to the state to pay for all of its programs. And now you're asked to pay the tax again to the local municipality, and you are taxed every year for 29 years on that piece of equipment. So again, we thought that's a little excessive. And when you pay a tax on it, should you pay tax on it again and again and again and again? We don't think that's the case.
Brandon Scholes with us, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association, as we talk about legislative priorities of the food retail industry. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to the price of food. Consumer price index data showing the cost of food at home climbed 13% throughout the Midwest last year. How are the state's grocery stores adapting to rising food prices?
You know, everybody that you're going to run into, whether they're a shopper or a store owner, it just hates price increases. And the price increases that have come on the groceries in the store that you shop due to inflation, due to COVID, due to the supply chain, if you really want to get to the core of where this all starts, is so hard to deal with. Because for grocers, you know, when they order a product to sell to you, to put on the shelf so that you could buy it, they go to their suppliers. Well, their suppliers have costs, and those costs have increases, and those costs are passed down to grocers. Well, grocers, the margin on groceries is very, very slim. So there's not much room to absorb a price increase, especially when it goes, you know, several percent all the way up, as you mentioned, to 13. Those sort of price increases. So grocers really can't absorb much. And unfortunately, the price increases get passed on to consumers. Nobody wants to do it. That's the last thing you want to do is increase prices. But if you want to stay in business, you don't have a choice.
Is
the core part, as I mentioned, of where this comes from is what happened way back after COVID, when we saw massive changes in the workforce. We saw people not working anymore. And as a result, and as you've heard story after story here on the radio, is that we have a workforce shortage. And as such, it drives up the cost of doing business, whether it's in benefits and salaries or other things that just cost you money to run the business. Those cost increases have been passed on to grocers and then passed on to consumers.
Is the rise of food costs impacting smaller independent grocers differently than regional or national grocery chains?
It affects all of them, large or small, one store, 100 stores, because even though you might be a bigger, you know, you might have more, you might have 20 or 30 or 100 stores, you still have to source and buy your products. And while you have some advantage of economy of scale when you purchase them, you too are still subject to increases from the supply chain. Now, somebody that grows a head of lettuce is going to sell it to a single store operator as well as a, you know, a 100 store operator or a 10 store operator. So products come from, you know, our farmers and our growers and our manufacturers. And eventually, as it comes through the supply chain, you know, everybody's got to pay extra for that truck driver. Everybody's got to pay extra for that processing plant. Everybody's got to pay a little something. So, you know, it affects everybody in the business. Nobody gets a free ride from inflation increases and price increases, unfortunately.
Brandon Scholes, CEO of the industry trade group, the Wisconsin Grocers Association. And you can join in about the grocery industry policies affecting it, the economic impacts. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into state regulatory and policy issues with the industry trade group representing hundreds of grocers and convenience stores, food brokers, other suppliers in our state's retail food industry. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brendan Scholes is CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. Brendan, let's turn to alcohol delivery. The Wisconsin Grocers Association lobbying to allow residents to receive alcohol by delivery and pickup. The Tavern League of Wisconsin, however, has come out against it, saying that allowing off-premise delivery will make it more difficult for the state to enforce laws around underage drinking and drunk driving. What is your response to that pushback?
Oh, it's just simply ignoring what reality is. In fact, if someone, one of your listeners, wants to go online and order groceries and order a six-pack of beer or a bottle of wine, we believe that we should be able to deliver it because we follow the same safety protocols as when you come into the store to buy that product. We check your age. We check your ID. We make sure that you're not intoxicated because if you are, we won't sell to you. We follow the same protocols that the folks that run bars or restaurants and anybody, frankly, who sells beer, wine, or spirits in Wisconsin. So the home delivery aspect is not at all ignoring the laws of the state and what we need to do to verify age. So it's really an argument that isn't, you know, that has no bearing. I think the concern there is somebody may feel that if we deliver that product to somebody at home, they may choose to not get into their car and drive to a bar and then spend a little time there and then go home. So, you know, if we want to talk about what happens when somebody drinks and drives, that's one that we actually think if somebody wants to have the product at home, they should. But is that really going to impact the business of the bar? We don't believe so. What's important is to know your customers and where your business is coming from. It's a customer-driven request that we be able to deliver this product at our home. And so we feel that if that's what customers want, we should be able to do so.
What would change under the bill for curbside pickup?
One of the reasons we want to have curbside pickup in this bill and that we've talked about it is when you order online and you want to go pick it up, we believe that it should be consistent at each store-to-store, municipality to municipality, to where you drive up, how much room is needed when you drive up, what the process is when you come to the store to pick up your online order. We'd like to see consistency from municipality to municipality rather than have one municipality say, well, you have to do it over here. Another one says you have to do it over here. And if we have a consistent policy across the state that addresses curbside pickup, we think that makes a lot of sense for everybody rather than have a patchwork of regulations and requirements. We'd like to see it consistent. So again, we feel those two things go hand in hand because they're really benefiting the customer and in some cases help grocers deal with the increased costs of this. And so by structuring curbside pickup, by allowing home delivery, that all goes to number one, what customers want, and number two, what we believe helps makes it easier for people to buy and for grocers to sell.
And this leads us into the overhaul in the works for liquor law in our state. Legislation signed into law last month aims to create this new division within the Revenue Department to oversee our state's liquor laws. And this new division could lead to greater enforcement of ignored current laws, largely ignored, like bans on shipping of liquor or beer directly to customers. What notable changes may this have for consumers or for grocers in Wisconsin?
Well, there will be some things that consumers may notice, but for the most part, lots and lots and lots of things in this bill, and it's about 150 pages, go toward the process of selling, the process of complying with the law from both the retail to the wholesale to the manufacturing level. It's so much of what's in here is the result of years of really excellent work of trying to work within our state laws to make them better and make it better for not only those who sell and comply with the law, but for customers as well. Mm-hmm. So for us, there's a couple of big things in here. It deals with having a licensed bartender license on your premise, both grocer, retail, and bars. But we like the fact that the state is going to issue that license in addition to municipalities, but to have a state license is huge. Again, will that matter to customers? Not really. but it'll help us help customers. You see changes in there that deal with the definition of seltzers and things like that. One of the things that consumers may see is that there's kind of an expansion of the retail offerings of beer and wine and spirits, and that comes through sort of craft beer and craft,
Brew
and
pubs
distilleries
and
and others.
wineries, which I want to ask you about that, allowing brew pubs to have retail stores, wineries having expanded retail sales options. Will that create more competition for grocers?
This may sound odd, but it's about the customer experience. We don't want to be in a position where we tell a consumer, a customer, nope, you can't go here and do this. If in fact somebody wants to go to the local, brew pub and have a beer or a winery and have a glass of wine, fantastic. That's great. They're going to go to a restaurant and have beer and wine. But when they want to have something at home, they will buy it from a grocery store or a liquor store. And, so having more offerings and more competition, we believe is always a good thing. We don't feel that this provision in the bill would change consumers from wanting to go out to a brew pub versus buy a six pack of maybe the same product that they find in the grocery store and take it home. So if that provision, doesn't bother us at all. Like I said, we support competition. We support customers having the choice to do what they want to do.
Talking about legislative priorities of the food retail industry across the state with Brandon Scholes, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. You can join in with your question or comment, 800-642-1234. Let's take a call now. Jane in Suamico. Jane, hi.
Yes, hello. I wondered if he could speak to presentations I've been seeing where leaders of big corporations are crowing to their shareholders at meetings about the fact that they've been able to wring more profits out of their products because they can inflate the prices even though they don't really need to.
Jane, thank you. Brandon, your insights there.
Question, because we've seen so much change in the pricing of products. We've seen change in the size of products and, going from a 28-ounce bottle of laundry detergent to a 26.5. Lots of changes have occurred over the last several years. And I know that we're often asked, gee, we see prices going up here and there. Why is that? Are they just driving profits? Or are they, what's the reason? And you can't expect customers to know how long the supply chain goes back to where you start. But if you think about, let's say, making bread, you've got to source those ingredients way at the very beginning. And from those ingredients, their prices, they have the same problem everybody else does, whether you have labor, whether you have raw material prices, everybody has that same problem. At the same time, while you have to increase your costs increase, and therefore you have to increase price, you can't increase your prices so much that you're going to give your competitors an advantage. You just can't say, well, you know what? Let's just raise it 25 cents this week. You can't, because you can't say, let's see what happens. People have choices. And over the last several years, also, this is a very salient point of the question. Shoppers, consumers have become very sophisticated in their approach to purchases, whether it's groceries, clothes, hardware, you name it, because prices have increased. Their purchasing dollar has gone down a little bit. They've become accustomed through COVID of thinking about what they're going to purchase at the store, what they're going to have for meals, how they're going to prepare for their family's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They've become very smart shoppers. So when somebody wants to raise their prices, they run the risk of having those consumers who are very smart switch to different products. Maybe they go from a name brand that they've always bought, and they decide that they're going to take a private label product, which is roughly the same thing, but at a little better price.
So, choice really impacts those big corporations and also is impacting the quote unquote here greedflation that consumers do have choices. You know, we're just about out of time, but this time last year, you said there was a particularly high demand for fresh local products in Wisconsin. Is that trend continuing?
Absolutely. You know, our local farmers and growers. And our dairy farmers do an amazing job of the products that they make. Consumers want them. And so grocers continue to do more offerings of buy local, of local foods, of sampling, trying to work with you know, our growers and farmers and dairy farmers to make sure that we can get plenty of product to make it on the shelves. You know, that's just a win-win-win for everybody. Win for our local farmers and growers, win for grocers, and win for consumers. So we don't just sit back and you know, take it and sell it. I think you find a lot of grocers doing, you know, things that they can do to promote and partner with our local. So
Brandon,
it continues.
Brandon, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very much. Have a great week.
You too. Brandon Schulz, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association on the State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.